Hello, everybody, and welcome to the War Room. This one is for the UFC 283 co-main event. A quadrilogy? A tetralogy? Saga, what do you want to call it? I mean, fighting an opponent a fourth time is just wild. I've tried to put myself in that situation. I've fought a couple of fighters twice. I've had a couple of opponents that I've faced, you know, a second time. But a fourth time? And a fourth time after you've already done two 25-minute fights with them. I find this one fascinating. I have 4 pages of notes on my MacBook, and then I have pages of notes here as well of different scribblings and hieroglyphics and stuff. Because they've faced each other so many times, I kind of went on a bit of a binge, as I always do with these big fights. I went a bit on a bit of a binge, and I did their two fights at 255. Then I watched the 256 fights, the countdown shows in between, the embeddeds in between, all in order. So I'm kind of consuming the kind of the storyline as it goes. Because I think, honestly, that's the most important thing for me here. Because I feel like on any given day, both of these guys have got the ability to be the world champion. I feel like they've both got the ability to beat one another. And I do think that Figueiredo's got a slightly higher possibility of just general overall winning against Moreno for a couple of different reasons, which I'll try and explain. But there's definitely a, you know, you've got two kind of very interesting minds facing one another. You've got Figueiredo, who before their first fight was convinced he was the pound for pound best in the world. He just thought he was going to walk through everybody. You remember that at UFC 255, when he fought Alex Perez in the main event and Moreno beat Royval on the prelims, that was supposed to be Cody Garbrandt fighting Figueiredo. And I think that would have given Figueiredo a really interesting test and someone that was confident in his power against Figueiredo, who, of course, is a very powerful individual. But at the same time, it would have probably validated his feeling of himself because, again, you know, Cody coming down to face Figueiredo would have put him at a disadvantage weight-wise, and I feel like Figueiredo might have been able to get to him. So just generally, Figueiredo coming into that first fight was in a very, very strong place mentally. You know, he dominated Alex Perez. He said that he knew he was going to be afraid to strike with him, and he hit him with a couple of body shots, and then we got Alex Perez level changing. And then we get that scramble where he goes for the ankle lock, Perez takes top position, then gets caught in the guillotine and the scramble. A really strong performance fight by Figueiredo. He came out of UFC 255, and he was the undisputed champ. You can't argue it. And he was so confident that he wanted to fight Moreno 3 weeks later at UFC 256. Now, on the flip side, you've got Moreno, who's already fought now. He's just watched Figueiredo dominate and guillotine Alex Perez. But Moreno's coming off a TKO win over Brandon Royval. But it wasn't a conclusive win, was it? Because it was kind of back and forth in the striking range. Moreno got a beautiful body lock from behind and took him down, took his back. And he was on his back for a minute or so trying to finish that rear naked choke. And he was quite close a couple of times. But then Royval, being scrappy and durable and having a good ground game, was able to maneuver himself into a position where he was starting to attack a leg. And then there was a weird thing where he extended his arm and Moreno kind of pushed down on it and it popped it out of the socket. And that was the end of the fight. I mean, of course, Moreno followed up with a few strikes, but he did look at the referee first because he could see that Royval was injured before he'd started his striking attack. He just knew that he had to get the fight finished and get the referee to stop it. It's a weird situation, and I put myself in Brandon Moreno's mindset when that happened, because in his mind, he woke up on that fight day thinking to himself, "I am going to go in there and I'm going to dominate Brandon Royval. I'm going to make it look like a comfortable victory, and then Figueiredo's in the main event and I'm going to call him out on the mic." And it was kind of it didn't have the same kind of confidence and I don't know whether that's just the way that Moreno is, because he is kind of he's a little bit fun kid, you know, he's a big Lego fan like I am as well, and he's quite I'd imagine him to have quite self-depreciating humor. He seems like that kind of kid, but I can't help but feel like his confidence wasn't where it would have been had he had a decisive win over Brandon Royval. So then 3 weeks later, when he's coming in against Figueiredo and he's just watched Figueiredo destroy him, destroy Alex Perez and then call him out, there's a a necessary respect on the side of Moreno, because Figueiredo's going to be confident in the first round. He's going to come with big power. He's going to try and beat him up, manhandle him, throw him to the floor potentially, try and finish him in any way possible. But in any way possible, in Figueiredo's mind, is just whatever comes first, because something's going to happen and I'm going to finish him. And then as the first round started at UFC 256, Moreno started cautious, back up against the fence, you know, feinting and being defensive. And Figueiredo came out straight away with a spinning back kick, lunged in with a right hand, got caught with a jab, and then was in on a takedown, which he didn't get. You know, it created a scramble. So then, like, within that opening minute, he didn't land the back kick. He got jabbed in the face. He tried to get a takedown. And he was forced then to scramble back to his feet defensively, because Moreno was the one that was initiating the wrestle. So that first round was a bit of a turning point for both of them, I think, because for Figueiredo, he was like, okay, this kid's a bit more of a handful than I expected, but I'll get to him in the second round. I just need to pull back a little bit and just be a bit more sensible. For Moreno, he started to realize himself in those first couple of rounds, because he was able to take shots. He was able to land his jab quite comfortably, and he was able to initiate wrestling exchanges. Even though Figueiredo was able to scramble back to his feet, Moreno was able to grab a hold of him and get him to the floor temporarily to kind of stifle his power punching attack. Now, that first fight, of course it was a draw on the scorecards due to the groin shot in the second round. But the reality is, Figueiredo won that fight. You know, he won it on three of the scorecards. And, hang on, where's my notes? Yeah, so he won it on at least three of the scorecards. So the scorecards read 49-46, 48-47, 48-47. So the point deduction brings those two 48-47 rounds to 47-47, and that's why you've got a majority of the draw, because the majority of the scorecards were scored a draw. Figueiredo gets to keep his belt, but Moreno goes home feeling like he's now worthy of being a world champion because of the performance that he was able to put in, because he was able to push to 25 minutes after 3 weeks of facing Brandon Royval and not getting a full training camp to prepare for Figueiredo, which anybody in the right mind would need. You've got to dismantle that guy's game and figure out where you're most at risk and least at risk, because you're always at risk. So for Moreno to be able to, you know, within a couple of weeks of beating Royval, to be able to put a game plan together that lasted consistently over 25 minutes and kept him safe and did win a round on all scorecards, which was the fourth, that was a big confidence booster for him, you know? After that, he buys a bigger house for his family, and he's doing more, you know, commentary and media work and stuff, and it was the hurdle that he needed to overcome without picking up a loss, which was a real benefit to him. But on the other side, you've got Figueiredo, who at one point, a few weeks before, was thinking he was the best pound-for-pound fighter in the world. And now he's been really, really pushed, and his gas tank's been tested against Moreno, who he didn't really feel like was going to be much of a threat to him. So Figueiredo's kind of dealing with this like psychological hurdle that now he's been presented with, and Moreno's overcome the psychological hurdle by getting to the distance in that first fight. So then 6 months later, they face each other again at UFC 263, and you've got Moreno coming in like, right, I could have beaten you if I'd have had a full training camp the first time around, which I'm sure was what his mindset was. But now he knows full well what Figueiredo's movement is like and where he can find his way into the game. He came in with supreme confidence at the same time as Figueiredo coming in with a real hit taken to his confidence from the first fight. And he was really cautious in the second fight. You know, he was kind of playful for like 3.5 minutes. He was throwing some kind of high, like side kicks and like a lead hook kick and stuff, like almost like trying to be playful so he wasn't being aggressive, because he knew that the aggression had worked against him in the first fight. But then Moreno started to have some success in that first round. You know, he started to land some fast punches. You know, in the exchange, there was one shot that just about caught him, and then Figueiredo stood his ground and came back in with another power shot, and that's where he got caught with the jab that dropped him. So the first round of the first fight was not great. The first round of the second fight was really not good, because for the first 3.5 minutes, he'd done very, very little, and Brandon Moreno, his confidence had risen, and he got ahead on the scorecards, and then he gets dropped. So then he's coming into the second round like, where's his head at? Where's his game plan at? He's been dropped by Moreno. I would imagine he never expected Moreno to be able to put him on the floor. And then the second round of the second fight, Moreno was all over him. Out-wrestled him, 3-something minutes of control, exposed his back 3 times. Just a really strong performance by Moreno. But then Figueiredo then starts to find his way back into the fight. I've switched from one fight to the next here. So then the second round comes out, and we've got the first round dominant by Moreno, drops Figueiredo. Second round, he takes him down, out-wrestles him, exposes his back a couple of times. Third round, he takes his back and chokes him out. So that the second fight was just not good at all for Figueiredo. It was really, really bad. And he didn't look himself to me. It was almost strange to see him happy for Moreno afterwards when he was getting the belt wrapped around his waist. I don't know. Maybe I'm reading too much into it, but he just didn't look himself to me. Now, when he came in the third fight, and you've got two guys that now have got, there's the draw, which in Figueiredo's head, he won it, but of course it really pushed him. Second fight, he just lost it. There's no two ways about it. They come in for the third fight, UFC 270, and now again, you know, you've got two different mindsets that are battling against one another that have already changed twice in the last two fights. Now, I feel like Figueiredo had got the balance right in this third fight because he'd got the confidence to be aggressive from the first fight, but the patience from the second fight. And they'd met in the middle, which found that nice little spot where he was patient enough to keep chopping into that lead leg and not really biting on too much else. So the first round of the third fight was all about doing damage to that lead leg of Moreno. Now, at the same time, Moreno was starting to land those right hands. And although the judges scored that first round in the third fight for Figueiredo, good work was done by Moreno. And I think it's easy to overlook those couple of right hands that he landed because the damage that Figueiredo had done to his lead leg. You go into the next round, and this is where Moreno starts to come on. And the second round of the third fight is where he won all the scorecards as well. There's only two rounds, first and third fight, there's only one round in each of the first and third fights where he was able to win on all the scorecards. This is why I kind of feel like Figueiredo is just generally, he's more capable of winning on the scorecards based on his strength and power. Like the rounds that were close, it seems like the judges gave it to Figueiredo because of the impact of Figueiredo's shots. Like although Moreno was landing good shots, although he was landing good counter shots, they weren't quite as impactful. Even the fourth round of the first fight, where Moreno had that real good little sprint, little blitz, I still feel like Figueiredo was taking those shots more because he was fatigued than because he was hurt. So the third fight was really interesting because it did sway back and forth. And I do feel like both fighters were a little bit more reserved, but they both did very good things. So we come into this fourth fight, and now what we have to do is we have to look at the first three fights that have happened. We have to take into account Brandon Moreno stopping Kai Kara France with those body kicks. And we have to think to ourselves, well, how are these two guys going to approach each other this time around? Now, Moreno needs to be confident in the first round to not allow Figueiredo to bully him and push him around. But he also can't be walking onto shots. He can't take too many of those calf kicks in the first round because they stay damaged all the way through the fight. He also can't be too overzealous with that double jab because now he knows that Figueiredo's got that right hand over the top, which we saw in the third fight. So we have to see a bit of a shift from both of these guys' tactics. I like the left hook that we're starting to see Moreno using, but now I've got to expect that Figueiredo is going to have a counter to that, which is probably going to be a low kick because that's where he had most success in his exchanges with punches against Moreno. I mean, if I'm Figueiredo, I'm feeling like I win the strength and power exchanges it all day. So I feel like I'm going to try and push Moreno back a little bit, but I'm not going to be too overzealous. I'm not going to be too worried about what's coming back at me, but I don't want to be caught with too many unnecessary shots because from the second fight, he does have respect for the power of Moreno, especially if he's running onto that power. So if I'm Figueiredo, I'm going to keep switching my stance. I'm going to keep chopping into that lead calf as much as I can. I'm going to switch southpaw and I'm going to keep hammering him in the body, hoping that he blocks because, of course, that's what did damage to his shoulder in the first fight. So building up power kicks from Figueiredo would be an ideal game plan for the first round. Now, we also know that he's got counter wrestling. So if Moreno starts to try and work through that kicking range to land his fast hands, this is then where Figueiredo can go maybe 2-3 shots and then body lock and clinch. Because the one that takes the initiative over the body lock is most likely the one that's going to score the takedown. And I feel like both of these guys are very, very difficult to hold down. But because they both can get overconfident sometimes, they can run in and get caught with body locks. And we saw a big improvement in Figueiredo's wrestling output in the third fight. I think he got 2 of 11 takedowns in the third fight. Whereas in the first fight, I think he had... I've got it written down here. 2 of 4 in the first fight and 1 of 1 in the second fight and 2 of 11 in the third fight. Now, the point is that he, you know, of course, there were 9 takedowns that he didn't score. But what he did do is take the counter wrestling off Moreno, which was a real benefit to him in the first and second fights. Because the times when Figueiredo's coming forward, that's when he was getting body locked and taken down. That shift in his mentality that now I can be the counter wrestler here, it starts to nullify some of the confidence that Moreno can have from being able to get himself out of bad positions with wrestling. If I'm Moreno, I've just got to make him work. Like, I know this guy is a powerhouse, so I don't want to be standing trading punches with him. I want to be making him work at ranges which is safe for me. So if I can get him to scramble, I know I'm going to be draining his gas tank. I also know when Figueiredo scrambles that he does a tendency to roll and give his back. Now, I think he's going to be more guarded about that, of course, because he's been choked out once now. But it still doesn't mean that he's going to stop doing it, because it is his habit. You know, he rolled all the way through against Alex Perez. The habit of Perez is to stay on top, which is why he was vulnerable for the guillotine. Moreno's going to try and jump on his back. He's going to try and stay on his back. So those scrambles are always a danger for Figueiredo. And if he's forced to scramble twice, most likely he's going to be fine. If he's forced to scramble 5 or 6 times, those last couple of times he might get a bit tired. If you force him to scramble 10, 11, 12 times in a fight, those last few, there might be a real opportunity there for you to jump on a neck. You know, if you're Moreno, that fatigue makes each one of those scrambles a little bit less of an effort to deal with and a little bit easier to get that near side left hook in. Then the other hook goes in, then he's on the neck. You know, these things take time to do, but if your opponent's moving slower, it's easier to get those controls in. And one other thing we need to consider as well is Moreno's got a decent guillotine. He's got, where is it written down here somewhere? So 6 rear naked chokes, 3 arm bars, a guillotine and a triangle. And I know it's only 1 guillotine that he's got, but because Davison Figueiredo has now taken the initiative to wrestle, that means that his head might be in more vulnerable positions than it has been in the past. Moreno being the wrestler, being the one that initiates the wrestling, is usually what's going to expose his opponent's back. So if Davison now is the one that's taking the initiative in the wrestling, Moreno might be able to look for other submission opportunities as well. But again, you know, for Moreno, it's pace. Like, do you expect him to get tired over 25 minutes, even if he's working really hard? Not as tired as Figueiredo is going to get over 25 minutes, because Moreno doesn't have that kind of muscle mass. Like, Moreno doesn't throw with the same kind of intensity that Figueiredo does. Like, you can hear that from the calf kicks and the body kicks cracking in. Oh, man. Like, I could spend all day, every day thinking about this fight until it happens. I find it so fascinating when two fighters know each other so well. And when they face off, their opinions and their perspectives of one another and of themselves changes slightly. And that influences the way they go into the next fight. Now, these guys have fought 3 times now. So this fourth fight is... It's a bit of a riddle, to be honest. I feel like either of them could come out with a new technique that's going to be the fight clincher. Like, the left hook from Moreno was a key. The calf kick from Figueiredo was a key. The body kick from Figueiredo was a key. Counter wrestling from Figueiredo was a key. But the speed of Moreno is problematic. The conditioning of Moreno is problematic. What did I write down here? I wrote some things down here. Let me just read these out to you. Moreno has to deal with calf kicks. So he uses his counter right. Power punching. He uses his jab and his body locks for takedowns. Counter wrestling. Strikes on the break and wrestling back. Something he did really well in the third fight. That left hook. That won him the second round for me. Power kicks. He's got to deal with the power kicks coming from Figueiredo. Counterboxing and wrestling again. and then guillotine attempts, safe scrambles. Moreno has to be very careful of Figueiredo's guillotines as well, but same thing with forcing him to wrestle. Anytime he gets clamped onto a neck, unless he's 100% sure he's got it, he's just burning energy that he needs in the championship rounds. So something to consider. My little notes for Moreno, just to keep me on point. So he's got to stay mobile, stay active and stay cautious. He's got to force Figueiredo to scramble. He's got to use kicks on breaks and he's got to try and expose his back. And if he can threaten the guillotine like he did against Smolka, when Figueiredo gets tired, there's a good opportunity there for him. An underlying key, especially in the first two rounds, don't accumulate too much damage. I feel like the later rounds sometimes were scored for Figueiredo because he was already striking targets that were already really bruised, like especially that calf kick. And I've, you know, because it's always interesting to see how the judges score these things as well. Sometimes the judges see the rounds completely opposite, and you just kind of wonder how and why they've seen it completely opposite. But then sometimes you've got to think that a judge might be right in front of a calf kick that's being landed on a really swollen, bruised leg, and he might just not recognize the right hand that lands. It might be the sound, the crack, the snapping of the calf kick on the swollen leg that is the most searing memory that he has in that round, or she, sorry. And they might mark it in Figueiredo's favor, even though he took probably a concussive right hand to land it, which he did a couple of times in their third fight. Yeah, it's fascinating. Quick before I go, so Figueiredo has to deal with, these are the things that he's going to be up against. Movement, he's got to be patient. Hand speed, of course, he's got to kick the legs and the body to slow Moreno down. Body lock takedowns, be patient and counter wrestle, which we saw him do really well in the third fight. Neck attacks and safe scrambles, of course, a key. He's got to be guarded of his neck. It's the first time he was submitted was when he got caught in that rear naked choke. That's definitely going to be a lesson for him, and I think his scrambles will be safer because of that, but still, you know, he's got to be very aware of them. Game plan for Figueiredo. He's got to be patient. He's got to maintain his composure, because the times when he didn't maintain his composure was when he was running onto body locks, getting caught with jabs, and basically being made to look like the fighter that didn't have a plan. Patience is a key for him, and that's really his battle. That's really his battle in every one of these fights. And I think it is for most people that have got massive punching power. Like, being patient when you know full well that at any point you can land a shot and knock him out, you feel like the next punch that you throw is going to be the one that does it. And it can really work against you sometimes. He's got to kick the legs, he's got to kick the bodies, and he's got to damage the arm. If he's kicking the body, it doesn't matter. We know that Moreno keeps this arm really tight into his ribs. So don't be trying to kick underneath his elbow. Keep kicking that arm. Like we saw it the last round of their first fight. It was the most significant strike. It was about a minute into the round, and Figueiredo kicked Moreno's arm. And he caught it on the outside of his arm, but he also caught it on this forearm here. And we could see the swelling straight away, but it actually did more damage to his shoulder than it did to his forearm. That was just one kick in the fifth round. If he'd have landed that kick in the first round and debilitated that shoulder, I mean, it just takes away his jab straight away. It would be a real disadvantage for Moreno. And this goes back to the accumulation of damage. He's got to be careful that he's not taking unnecessary shots, even though he wants to keep the pressure on Figueiredo. He's got to counter wrestle. That's something that we saw him do very well in the last fight. And he's got to attack the neck as well. He can't neglect his own submission game, because, of course, you know, what is he? 9 knockouts, 8 submissions, 5 of his submissions being guillotines. I think we might see the best performance from both of these fighters this time around. And because of that, I lean slightly towards Figueiredo because of the strength and power that he's got. I feel like the stars have to align for Moreno to do all the right things and not take the damage that's going to really start to impede him in the championship rounds. But then again, I think this is why it was so impressive when Moreno came in that second fight and was just so dominant. Oh, what a fight. Did I do Tale of the Tape, Jamie? I don't think I did I? I think we kind of know these guys though, don't we? 2-inch height advantage to Moreno, 2-inch reach advantage to Moreno. Not very useful when you've got someone that's quite happy to stand right in the pocket like Figueiredo is, though. Slightly higher striking output, but better striking accuracy from Figueiredo. strike defense slightly better for Moreno, but I don't really think it matters, because even if you block in these techniques, like Figueiredo likes to lunge in with a big left hook to the body, partly because he's confident in his chin and partly because he knows that you've got to make a decision when you see him lunging in with intention, whether you're going to block high or block low. And even if he lands on the arm like Canelo does over and over again on the tricep, just slows people down, really does a lot of damage to the person's offense. And if Moreno, if you fight someone like Moreno and their main thing is pace and offense, anything you can do to take that away from them is wise. 1.71 takedowns per 15 minutes for Moreno, slight advantage, 1.48 for Figueiredo. 3% in it as far as takedown accuracy leaning towards Moreno. 10% sub-defense in favor of Moreno, 68% compared to 58. 1.8 for submission average per 15 minutes by Figueiredo. Again, Moreno's got to be careful of his neck in this one, because it wouldn't surprise me if we see Figueiredo beat him up a little bit, stuff his takedown, start to counter wrestle, and then try and get a hold of Moreno's neck. I mean, that stretch that he got on Alex Perez, it's pretty rough. Pretty rough. Anyway, good card, good fights. I'm looking forward to this one. This episode is brought to you by Full Reptile. I didn't even mention it. We've reprinted the Outlaw Army and the Little Mo stuff, and we've got hoodies and sweatshirts now. So they'll be out at the end of January. Make sure you look out for them. Fullreptile.co.uk. And we've currently got an end-of-line clearance sale. We've got a few T-shirts, odds and ends, weird sizes that we've got like multiples of. We've reduced them right down, and we're just trying to clear some warehouse space so we can get the next lot of stock in. So make sure you check that out, but also make sure that at the end of the month, did we say January 28th, Jamie? 28th? Something like that. Something around the end of the month, most likely the last Sunday of January, we'll be releasing these again. So make sure you're online, because they'll go fast as they did last time. All right, enjoy these fights, and I'll see you next time.